All right, welcome into the Late Show, Newstalk 830 WCCO, the Good Neighbor Station, on this freezing Monday. I didn't think it was going to get this cold. I didn't look at the weather over the weekend, but it is freezing out. But it's freezing, but that's not the number one thing that's on my mind right now. The thing that I've been thinking about for the last several hours is, what the heck is going on? Like, legitimately, what is going on? When you see the air travel accidents, the number of incidents that we've had here in the last, what, like 3 weeks, you have to be wondering what the heck is changed. Like, what's going on? We know that things probably have been happening a lot more than we ever would hear about, right? Like, incidents with regards to, you know, when you're on the runway and, you know, planes leaving the gate and bumping into each other and all the stuff, whatever. Is this magnified now, maybe more, or is it getting worse? But whatever it is, it's scary. Like, I think that we all can admit that it's extremely scary. And if you hadn't heard the latest, there was a Delta Airlines flight from Minneapolis that somehow, some way, when it arrived at Toronto Pearson International Airport, it flipped over. Okay, it was one of the Endeavor Air regional jets, Endeavor Flight 4819, departed Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport 11:34, about an hour late, according to FlightAware.com, crashed in Toronto at 2:15 Eastern Time, according to Delta, 1:15 Minneapolis time. The presser is getting started. We're going to carry the presser, and it's getting started right now.
Joined here today by Toronto Pearson Fire, Mississauga Fire, Peel Regional Paramedic Services, and Peel Police. Deborah will not be taking questions today, but we'd like to welcome her up at this time.
Okay, very good. Thank you very much. Deborah Flint, President Pearson, CEO of Toronto Pearson. I've just come over from our Emergency Operations Center, and I'm here to give you a statement on what events transpired here today at Toronto Pearson. First and foremost, there was no loss of life, and this is in due part to our heroic and trained professionals, our first responders at the airport. So the facts of the matter around this event that happened at approximately 2:30 p.m. is Delta Airlines Flight 4819 from Minneapolis to Toronto, operated by subsidiary Endeavor Air, was involved in a single aircraft accident upon landing at Toronto Pearson. The plane was carrying four crew and 76 passengers, among them 22 Canadians. The other passengers were multinational. Airport emergency workers mounted a textbook response, reaching the site within minutes and quickly evacuating the passengers. We stood up our emergency operations center with Delta Airlines and representatives from fire, police, paramedics, security, and our federal agency partners. Again, there were no fatalities. 17 injured passengers were quickly taken to local area hospitals. At this time, we do not know of any of those passengers having critical injuries. We immediately halted further arrivals and departures on our remaining three runways. Those runways were reopened at approximately 5 p.m. The other runways are remaining to serve the investigation, which will be carrying forward for the rest of tonight and into the next several days. These two runways will remain closed while the investigation takes place. Again, we are very grateful that there was no loss of life and relatively minor injuries. We are very focused on the care and the concern and the passengers and the crew, some of whom have already been reunified with their friends and their families. Others we have in a comfortable place right here at the airport, in an environment where they're getting a lot of care and support from my staff. Delta Airlines is also continuing to provide customer care and information for passengers. In closing, no airport CEO wants to have these type of press conferences, but this is exactly what our emergency, our operations, and our first responder partners are all practiced and trained for. And again, this outcome is in due part to their heroic work, and I thank them profusely. Our thoughts and prayers are with all. We will be providing more information as it becomes available. We do expect that there will be some operational impact and some delays at the airport over the next few days while the two runways remain closed for the investigation. And we will be sharing information periodically. For those traveling, continue to look at our website and be in touch with your respective carrier as well. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, Deborah. We're going to continue posting Toronto Pearson updates, operational updates on our X account, so be sure to follow us there. Thank you all for joining us.
All right, so that was all that they had to say. And I didn't catch Deborah's full name there during the course of that press conference, but we're living in times in which air travel, in my opinion, safety in air travel, should not be diminished. It should be something that I want to not only remain the same, but I wanted to us to enhance it, right? And so with that being said, with this situation, number one, I'm so thankful and grateful that there were no fatalities, okay? Now, there were, what did they say, like 18 people that were sent to the hospital that were reported injured. Three of those in critical condition. One of those was a child. So I'm so thankful that there were no fatalities. Okay, we'll see what played into this mishap. Okay, this accident, wind gust being reported up to 40 miles per hour. We'll see all that. But I guess this is the point that I want to make. Okay, and how you take it is how you take it. Because I know that there are people that will say, you know, politicize this, politicize that. I don't want to go there. What I will say, though, is this with regards to the optics of politics. OK. And because I'm not trying to make this political, but this is just a part of the conversation. This whole entire situation from over the weekend where 400 recently hired support staff employees for the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, fired over the weekend. Big time terminations of these federal workers. One thing that I don't like, okay, is people trying to minimize that in saying, well, these are people that were on a probationary period, yada, 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 with less than 2 years. I don't care. I don't care about employees being on a probationary period. We need to have all hands on deck. This is important. Safety in air travel is important. We have been talking about leading into the Reagan National Airport incident, and even after that, the conversation about air traffic controllers. I don't want to see less people working. I don't care if it's throwing luggage onto a plane, whether it's air traffic controllers, where it's pilots. We need to take all of this here. So all this stuff about, well, these people that we're letting go, they've only been a part. I just want good people working. And that's all that matters to me. This particular, all the stuff that's happening, so it's coming so fast and so furious, Chris, that is scary. And you know me. People have known this for a long, long time. I'm a scary flyer as it is. I don't want to be any more nervous when I'm traveling moving forward. I just don't.
It just seems like over the last 2 weeks, we have heard more and more and more about issues with air travel. And maybe they're not happening more frequently. But it just feels...
Maybe we just got under the microscope more.
Exactly. Like, maybe there's just a sentence height of concern for us when you're going to be traveling by air. It's a tough time right now to have confidence in the, you know, in the air travel, because you don't hear about it. And then all of a sudden, it's just like bang, 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 bang. Like back,
it's
back,
every
back,
5
back,
minutes,
back.
It seems like.
Exactly. And this one especially... It hits home because it's from Minneapolis to Toronto, gets to Toronto, it lands, and then it flips over, and you're like, I mean, thankfully it doesn't sound like there's any fatalities, but it doesn't make it any less scary for the people on that plane.
And let me say this too, because we said it the night that we were on the air, and at the end of the show, the incident happened with the Black Hawk military helicopter and the flight that was
the
trying
flight
to
from
land.
Wichita. Yes,
it's not a time, and I don't think it's appropriate to point the finger and say, "Donald Trump, you're the reason why." That's no one's going there. No one's going there.
You shouldn't.
But what I will say is, now is not the time to start just getting people out of jobs. It's important that we have people in good jobs that will do the work that we need for all of us to be safe. At this particular point, and we could take a couple of phone calls. I do got an in-studio guest that's coming up at 6:30, and they're already here. 651-461-9226. I do wonder, though, about confidence that you have. Like, is there anybody out there that's getting more nervous? Is your confidence level decreasing in air travel? And I know it's probably quick to ask that question, like 3 weeks quick, but it's still a question nonetheless. Because it seems like the last couple of weeks, every couple of days, something's popping up. You know, we had an incident, what was it, last week where a couple of planes collided and they're like, I don't say they were attached, but you can see the wings were hit. And I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah,
here?
And there was the week before the Super Bowl that they had the incident in Philadelphia.
And stuff has been happening.
Yeah, it has.
Without question, earlier in the fall, you had the incident with the Gonzaga basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
There was something where they were asked to go and take off, and then another flight was, and it was all kind of, I mean, imagine a mishap there. 651-461-9226. If you'd like to react via text, if you'd like to react via phone call, we can take them next year on the Lake Show. All right, thanks for listening to the Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO 651-461-9226. Getting a couple of texts in, and I want to address a couple of the texts. First off, one thing that's super important with regards to radio is listening. Okay? I know that back when you were in school and you took you took those tests and all that stuff, you had reading comprehension and you had all these different, but being able to listen. If anybody listened to the last segment, you would have understood the point that I was making, and I'm talking about with regards to this text. Why are you politicizing this? 40-mile-an-hour wind updraft can easily disrupt the glide path landing. Stop blaming Trump. You're more likely to get in a car accident. Move on. Secondly, after that text, I'm not going to move on. This is a radio show. We talk about various different topics. If you don't like the topic, sorry. We'll get to a lot of topics over the course of a three-hour show. So it ain't just a move on. It's breaking news that involves Delta Airlines and a flight from Minneapolis. The other point, if you listened, who directly blamed Donald Trump? I said, why is this happening more and more and more? What I did blame is the fact that we have Elon Musk, who's over, he shouldn't be over anything. Doge is a made up, it's not even a real thing, that wants to lay off 400 FAA workers. Which brings me to the other text. Lake, I'm confused. How can you say all hands on deck, don't blame Trump? The layoffs are happening under his administration, though, right? What I'm saying is about the all hands on deck is I don't want 400 people fired. I think that was clear. And the confusion about this happening with his administration, you're 100% right. But it's hard for me to kind of look at this and just think that the domino effect in everything that's happening, like maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is all on Elon Musk. Maybe this is all on Donald Trump. Maybe that's what we'll find out in due time. It's happening so fast and furious, Chris, that I don't want to point the finger at him and say it's him, especially like the Black Hawk thing. Like, how can I point the finger and say that it was just his fault.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe I'm in the minority and I'll end up being wrong with all of this. But man,
no, I don't think you can. Like, there are a lot of things that we can look at this administration and say we're not fans of, and they can be criticized for a lot of things. But I think with all of these incidents with, you know, air travel, I'm not going to put that on the administration. They've been in office for, what, 3 weeks?
Yep.
I'm not going to put all of these issues that have been happening to this point on them because it's not fair. Because
now, the 400 people being let go out of jobs, I'm directly going to put on them.
Absolutely.
That doesn't give people confidence in the current administration. And from the 612, I'm flying tomorrow and I ain't real comfortable praying. Yes, there's going to be a lot of people with that sentiment.
Yeah, and rightfully so. I will say my take on it, anything up to this point, you can't put on the administration because that's not fair to the administration. However, everything from this point forward, I think you can, because they're making the decision to remove these 400 jobs from the bottom line. Like, you go in and you're like, okay, we're going to cut these jobs. We're going to save all this money. Yeah, but the what do they say? For every action, there's a reaction. This is the reaction that you are going to. You might not have as many of these accidents happening, but you're going to understaff and overstress those people that are already in those jobs. Again, not saying there's not waste in the government and other areas, but I think at this point in time, the FAA is probably not an area that I think people would be comfortable with you removing jobs.
And the other thing, though, that I think, and this is just in general, with regards to looking at the just everything that's going on with the government and everything,
mm-hmm.
is because we're talking about waste, and all this other stuff. I don't understand why within the first 2 to 3 weeks, we are taking a sledgehammer to everything. Like, why don't we continue to investigate and look and understand what's going on and what works and doesn't work? But taking a sledgehammer to every single thing, that does not seem like a wise thing to do. At least it's just me. 651-461-9226. It's interesting to me that people are looking at all this stuff and thinking and saying it's okay. If you want to be stuck in that, oh, this is all okay because of one political party or another political party or this person says so, I'm sorry, I just don't agree with that. And that's across the board. That could be with whatever political party that you're supporting, whether it's a Democrat, whether it's Republican, whether it's an independent, whatever. I'm not wired like that to just rubber stamp something just because one person says it.
Yeah, And again, it's not to say that you can't cut, because there are always places that you can become more efficient. Absolutely. But I think there's something to be said, Henry, instead of just going in and looking at the bottom line and, you know, everything's got to be cut from the, you know, the Excel spreadsheet. That's not how this works. Like, there are some areas that are more important than others. Take a look, vet it, and then make that decision, because now they've got this, you know, nuclear individual. They're trying to rehire him and they can't find him because they fired people. And then they're like, oh, well, we didn't realize what they did.
Yep.
You don't want to get yourself into that situation.
And no one is sitting here saying that that when you look at the 400, that has anything to do with what happened today.
No.
I mean, this, no one's saying that. OK, no one's dumb. What I am saying is when you see these stories, people's confidence is starting to get a little bit shaken, and I'm seeing it already here on the text line. Let's take one quick phone call before we move on to other matters. Let's go to Tom and Edina. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great, Henry. How are you?
I'm okay. It's cold, but we're doing good.
Yeah, stay warm. I just wanted to say, I think you can place a lot of blame on Mr. Trump, President Trump, for firing all of the inspector generals. Those are the people that should be monitoring all of these agencies, including the FAA, and they're gone.
That's true. That's true, 100%. I'll give you that. Absolutely, you're correct.
So in that sense, I don't give him a break on this. I think he is responsible as the sitting president and has to take it.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the phone call. I appreciate the phone call from Tom and Edina. And that's a great point. And he is 100% correct on that. You know, when we start talking about oversight, right,
mm-hmm.
that matters. To think that now we are talking about we're doing away with consumer protection agencies. We're doing away with consumer protection agencies.
Uh-huh.
That bothers me. Well, there's a lot of things that bother me.
Well, because what you're doing is you're inviting fraud. You're inviting deregulation. And that's the problem. Though, I think there are a lot of safeguards that are out there that consumers, like people don't realize they're out there until they're not. And then you're like, well, damn, that sucks. And I don't want to get to that it sucks point, but we're at the it sucks point.
Yes. All right. Coming up next, we have a look at the local weather. And then one of the things that has been in the spotlight and people have been talking about for a while now is the price of eggs. What the heck is going on? In studio, I have the owner of Chick with the Whistle Farms. Her name is Amy Winter. She does a fabulous job with farm fresh eggs. She even does handcrafted goat milk soap, seasonal goat milk. She's a farmer. I have questions. She has some answers. We'll get to her next year on The Lake Show. The price of eggs has been a talker for a while. And I said, I need to talk to somebody that has a little bit of a gauge on what the heck is going on. Amy Winter, owner of Chick with the Whistle Farms, local farmer in studio here on The Lake Show, to talk about what we're seeing, concerns that she has as a farmer. And so, Amy, thank you so much for coming in studio. How you been?
I've been doing well. Thank you so much for the invite.
Always a pleasure to chat with you. We've been longtime friends.
We have.
And so, first off, kind of give a little background on Chick with the Whistle Farms, how long you've been in existence, and what all you carry and do.
Yeah, you know, I'm just a very small hobby farm. I used to live in the cities, and we wanted a little bit of land. And so just short of 10 years ago, we decided to move the family out to right on the line between kind of the country and the city and got a little bit of acreage and started with some chickens, and that transitioned to some goats, and then from there went to some pigs and sheep and ducks.
Oh, wow.
And so we kind of deep dive there and had a lot of fun learning a whole lot. I did not grow up on the farm. I've learned it as an adult, but it's been a lot of fun.
All right, so how did that happen though? Like what drove you to the farm? That's kind of cool. I love that.
You know, I in college, I wanted chickens. And then when I got out of college, I met a friend who had goats. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And the kids were young. And we decided to get the kids into 4-H and have just really enjoyed raising our kids in that environment.
You know, one of the things that I love, and this is just being blessed and having a hookup, is that when you go around and you shop, you've known me for years, I try to eat healthy the majority of the time. And so when you go into a Whole Foods or whatever, you're going to buy the groceries that you need. I have had your eggs for years. They're phenomenal. I mean, when people talk about, you know, farm to table, that's essentially what we're talking about here, right? So when you hear about the headlines or see them with regards to the avian flu, what are your concerns as a farmer? And I guess for people out there listening, how concerned should they be?
Yeah, you know, it's obviously in the news. It is getting closer and closer, and there are now confirmed cases here in Minnesota. So I pay attention as of how close it's getting. For me personally, just as a hobby farmer, what I really am watchful of is migratory birds, because that's how they are transferring it from farm to farm. And so my chicken's free range, and so they could potentially get in contact with birds that just happen to fly on the property. So,
and would that, I mean, how so is it if they come in contact, is it a type of situation where it could ruin your entire stock of chickens, or?
I mean, if you know, there are different strands of avian flu, but there is one that is the one we're all concerned about. And if that does happen on your farm and you do get a confirmed case for containment, you will have to then dispose of your flock.
All right, we're talking to owner of Chick with the Whistle Farms, Amy Winter, here on the Lake Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. When you see the images of people going to the grocery store and they're just buying up all of the eggs and stuff like that, like, what's the first thing that pops in your head?
It is a little surprising because, you know, candidly, I didn't get into this to earn a ton of money or make a lot of profit. When you think about how much it costs to, you know, run a farm and raise chickens and do this, you know, you're looking to break even for most people. And so to see the egg prices so high in the store is a little surprising just because that's not been the reality for so many years.
I got a quote here from a gentleman by the name of Greg Herbick. He's the CEO of Herbick's Poultry Ranch in Michigan. He says, it's a pretty, I don't say funny quote, but he says, "I call this virus a terrorist, and we are in a battle and losing at the moment. You pay attention to all of this. You're seeing and hoping for the best with this flu thing. We've looked at the prices and we've seen the prices just jump up. Like, when you see the prices jump up like that, do you think that we're at a point where it could go much further in terms of how high it could go? Or do you think that we're kind of at the point where it could be steady, at least for the short term? Or is that still kind of in flux? You don't know.
I think it's still in flux because, again, we had a wave. This is a new wave, and it's really hard to predict. I would say in the short term, the wondering is how it impacts our egg costs. But it's having other effects. It's having effects of now everybody wants to go buy chicks because they see how much it costs to purchase eggs. That's having an effect on availability of chicks or even the cost of that. And so there are some other things that are playing out that it'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays. And I think big picture, the other wondering is that they're watching is the reason they're trying to contain it is we have seen the avian flu transfer from animal to animal and different types of animals. And so the concern is there has been a confirmed case between animal and human. And I think that's really what their big picture trying to avoid is really like a pandemic where maybe it might be a concern for humans.
Let me ask you this, and I'm not trying to put you in a position to be like overly critical of all of the different grocery stores or the different companies, but let me speak for myself. I do think that there, at least the last couple of years, has been a little bit, depending on different products and stuff like that, a little bit of price gouging. All right. So you are somebody, like you just mentioned, you're a farmer. You're not into it to like, you know, you're not trying to compete with the big dogs and all of that stuff, whatever. But do you think that the prices that we're seeing right now relatively are where they should be? Or do you think that we might be slightly getting gouged a little bit? Or is that hard to say?
It really is hard to say, but I would say, you know, one of the things about eggs is you do want them fresh. And so getting them from the farm to the stores is really important. And if there's a break in that connection between the farm and the store, I could see how it has some impact. Now, you know, do I know enough about how much this impacts that and how much of an influx?
And how it gets the distribution and all that. Yeah.
You know, I experience it on a very, very small scale. So, like, for right now, people have been messaging me and they want eggs.
Yep.
We have freezing temperatures.
Yep.
If you're not out in those, picking up those eggs, like, multiple times a day, all of my eggs are cracking and I'm throwing them away. That has a direct impact on, you know, my supply. And I'm having to turn all these customers away that I don't have any eggs right now.
Do you need me to come out there and help you with the eggs?
Yeah.
Me and Chris, we'll work for eggs. Well, I saw like a funny video.
That's true.
I saw a funny video and a meme, I thought it was hilarious, where this woman, she's in her vehicle, and this guy walks up, and then he's like, "Do you got it?" And she's like, "Yeah, do you got the money?" And it's almost as a playoff of like a drug deal. And she's got like this Ziploc full of eggs. And she's like, "No, where's the money?" And he's like, "Oh." And it's just, you know, so it's kind of a funny. I know it's a bit and we're kind of, you know, cracking jokes about it because you want to laugh at everything.
Cracking.
Yeah. with so many serious things going on in the world. But that is how people are taking this extremely serious. And I'm not going to sit here and say it's not a serious situation.
And I do need egg money, by the way. So,
me and Chris, we're available on weekends. We are off weekends. We don't do a show. So if you need us, we'll come out to the farm and help you out in any way.
I might have
to
take you up if this weather keeps going.
What for all the people out there listening, would you want to convey to them just about where we're at with egg prices and just everything that's kind of going on? Any advice, any concerns, anything that they should just pay attention to right now, just in the climate of egg prices and trying to get eggs?
I would probably say that what I hear most among my colleagues is that egg prices do have a cost, especially when you're buying local. And so, you know, now everybody's experienced that cost, even just from like high production plants. But, you know, supporting that local farmer, as big or as little, and realizing that does have a cost and has a value, I'm hoping that we kind of see that and realize that.
Yeah. Amy Winter, owner of Chick with the Whistle Farms, joining us here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. I appreciate you coming in studio. And I appreciate the eggs that you brought me, too.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thank you.
All right. We'll take a break, come back, final segment of Hour 1, and we'll do that next. All right. Some good chicken, egg texts that are coming through. I wasn't looking at the text line. While Amy was in studio, she's the expert. She has the farm and all that stuff, whatever. Let me get to a few of these texts. Henry, don't forget to mention the 148 million birds that were scheduled for euthanization. When talking about the egg shortage, that from the 612. This from the 320 fact. The avian flu is spread mostly by ducks and geese. Biden administration killed all the chickens, and there you go, high-priced eggs. I don't know that that's fact, but I will look that up because you text, and I appreciate you listening. And then the last one, the concern is mainly between animals, dairy cows, for example. I wanted to have a local farmer come in studio and just kind of talk about it. And look, I'll be the first to say this, and Amy didn't say this, but I did bring it up with regards to gouging.
Mm-hmm.
I think that with a lot of things in society right now, we are paying a little bit more than what we should. Let's just call it for what it is.
Yep.
We know that right now that there are certain things that we put a priority on, and when you have different people that own different companies – across the board, multiple companies, and they start to monopolize things, that's not good for the pricing.
Oh, no question. There are a lot of corporations that are making a substantial amount of money, record profits. And that is because it's supply and demand. To me, it's very simple. There's a demand for a product. And if they don't have as much supply, well, you can increase those prices because the consumer demand is not going to decrease. If you're going to have a product that is in demand and people want it, you can jack up the price. And I think that's been going on for a long time. But right now, we are just in a super hypersensitive moment. Where if we've got, and I especially like eggs, it's kind of funny that it started the egg talking point, and like eggs has legitimately become like a contentious, it's become a contentious, you know, point of, you know, a subject. You just say eggs and you get an instant reaction, which is so weird to think about. But yeah, there are reasons why Amazon, Target, Walmart, you know, all of these companies are making money hand over fist. And there's a reason why people are struggling paycheck to paycheck. I mean, there's a very clear connection between the two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I just.
And we're all being taken.
Are you a big. How often do you buy eggs?
I got to be honest, we have not been buying them as much because we
because of the prices?
Because of the prices. We have not been eating them as much or using them even to bake.
So hold on, There's two questions here then.
Uh-huh.
You're saying that the price is impacting you buying them, but before the prices went up, was it something that you regularly had stocked? Because it is something that I've regularly had stocked.
Yes, we did.
And I haven't necessarily let the prices affect me that much, just because even though the prices went up, I've been able to skirt some of the prices because of having a Costco membership or whatever,
sure,
or directly knowing Amy and her having a farm in that way.
Yeah, we don't just and I'm sure I'm kind of like a lot of people. Mm-hmm. We use them, you know, for omelets, and, you know, whatever, but then, you know, we use them for cooking. We use them in, you know, different dishes. I use them when I make hamburgers because it's a nice solution to keep the meat together. It's, you know, you dip things, the French, you know, French toast, things like that. We have not been using it as much, but I haven't been, I've been consciously not cooking with them as much. But it, we normally try and have one, like, a dozen eggs. Mm-hmm. And once we get down to like three or four, be like, okay, got to go get some in the next couple of days is kind of what our philosophy's been. And I don't know if that's been common for a lot of people.
Who's the big time egg eater in your household?
Probably my wife.
I love eggs.
Because she likes to just boil them and then just have them on, you know, because they're a nice snack, right? You can just get it, the boiled egg. One thing that I like to do is, if I don't use them for cooking, because I made myself a birthday cake yesterday, which sounds really pathetic, but my wife and daughter were doing other things. So I'm like, you know what? I'll just make it and, you know, it's fine, even though it's a week and a half late. But I normally use like the egg in a hole. That's kind of my main thing where you cut a hole in the bread and you put the egg in there and you fry it.
At you getting all fancy.
Oh, dude, I'm a cook. Dude, I'm telling you, man, I am. I cook in our house.
Well, the other thing about this,
I love to cook.
The other thing about this is we can sit here and we can talk about, you know, going to the grocery store, mm-hmm, whether it's Fresh Thyme, Whole Foods, Cub, Hy-Vee, whatever, right? Wherever you want to go, Costco, Sam's Club, whatever.
Wherever, yeah.
Target. But also think about when you want to go get that breakfast at whatever your favorite breakfast spot is.
Yeah, see, that's...
Do you think that the price is going to be put, you know, added in, and, you know, in that particular situation too? Of course it is.
Oh, yeah, because Waffle House has added a 50-cent egg surcharge. Were you not? Yeah, like for every egg that Waffle House.
That's right.
Yeah.
I haven't thought about it because we don't have any Waffle House.
Yeah, and now I'm thinking it's like, okay, do I need to go to a Perkins or an Original Pancake House?
I love the Waffle House, by the way.
Or Waffle House is great.
50 cent per egg.
Yeah, 50 cent per egg on, like, charged by the Waffle House. I mean, that wouldn't stop me. That wouldn't stop me from going to Waffle House because Waffle House kicks ass. If you haven't been to a Waffle House, like, you're missing out. And so if you're ever, like, traveling through the South, definitely go hit a Waffle House. But, I mean, I'd have to check with Perkins. Yeah, Perkins or an Original Pancake
House
here. I'll
have to look that up.
Because that's interesting. Because, I mean, we love our Perkins here.
Well, which ones would we have? We have Waffle House. Not Waffle House here. We got Perkins.
Mm-hmm.
We also have, what was the other one you just said?
Original Pancake House.
Original Pancake House. We've also, there are some IHOPs here too, though, right?
I think there are. Are there any Panakukins anymore? Or are they gone?
You know what? I don't think I ever went once in my life.
Oh, I loved it. When I was in, you know, when I'd come up and I'd see my aunt who has lived in the cities for as long as I can remember, we'd go to Panakukin. And I could always remember you'd have like the milk in the mason jar.
Yep.
I just thought that was like the cat's meow right there.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there used to be Embers. I don't think there's any Embers around anymore. I think they're gone,
yeah,
aren't they?
Because remember, we that conversation came up last year about Embers, and you had the one that was in Fridley,
mm-hmm,
and then it closed down. And I didn't know that it was closed down. But, yeah, Embers used to be out there. Denny's. I think that they're still Denny's.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of Denny's. Yeah, I'm thinking in terms of
when I was in high school and in college, Perkins was the spot.
Yeah, Perkins has always been the spot. I think Perkins is one of those places that – it's going to outlive everybody. Like at the end of the world, there's going to be nothing standing except for just like Perkins.
Text line, Waffle House is nasty? No, it's not. Why do you think the Waffle House is so popular? Everybody loves Waffle House.
I love how they said dudes, plural. I've never, hey, kudos to the texter for saying dudes.
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 Oh my gosh.
What makes Waffle House nasty? I didn't know much about Waffle House until I moved down to Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like my whole world opened up. Like my world, because there was one on Providence just like a mile and a half away from Faurot Field.
Everybody loves it. If you don't like Waffle House, then you probably don't like, what's the spot over in Dinkytown? Al's Breakfast? You like the greasy spoon places.
Greasy spoon places. Those are the places to get your eggs. Yeah, those are the best places to get your breakfast.
Yeah.
No doubt.
All right, man, I appreciate Amy coming in studio. Coming up next, I do want to get to and talk about, well, the All-Star Weekend. The NBA All-Star Weekend, there's a lot of talk. A lot of people have opinions about the NBA All-Star Weekend. I give mine next on The Lake Show.